ready for the man of sin. And God is getting ready to destroy the wickedness of man off of the earth. In Daniel chapter 9, I want you to look at verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people. And remember, when you find that statement, thy people, he's referring to Israel. That's a key word. Anytime you find that in the Old Testament, most of the time it's talking about Israel, God's earthly people. Thy people, and upon the holy city, that's Jerusalem, to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, and to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness. What's that? Everlasting righteousness, the kingdom age, and then on into eternity. To bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now here we have 70 weeks that's determined upon God's people, which is 70 weeks of 7 years per week. So that's a total of 490 years determined upon the people of Israel as the chastening of God. And God said it's going to come to an end. And if you note something now, and when the Lord Jesus was cut off, when he came the first time to offer himself as the Messiah and King of Israel, they crucified him. Said, we'll not have this man to rule over us. They did not believe that he was truly the Messiah. And so they crucified him. Then some, after the resurrection of Christ, they believed that he was. And if you remember in the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, when they were gathered together with him, they said, Lord, will you restore at this time the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven? And he said, it's not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father put in his own will. So then Christ was cut off. And that 70th week, those 70 weeks did not finish at that time. 69 of them did. 69 weeks, which is a total of 483 years, being 7 years per week. So 69 would be 483 years, if you see it as 7 years for a week. So there's one more week that has got to run its course. This is prophecy. This has to be fulfilled. When the church is completed and taken out of the way, this will begin. God will again begin to deal with the nations and mainly with Israel, and the clock will start ticking away concerning his people, Israel, in that day. And if the rapture would take place tonight, this terrible little period of time of about 7 years would run its course to finish the transgression. It wasn't finished. It was cut off. When the Messiah was cut off. And so now we're waiting when the Christ completes his church. Let me say this. Between the 69th week and the 70th week, which is this period, there's that parenthesis of the church that was brought in. The church age. The dispensation of the grace of God, as we said to you tonight. This was unknown in the Old Testament and by the prophets. It was not revealed. It was a hidden truth in ages past. But God gave this revelation to the Apostle Paul primarily. And he gave it to them, and he was the preacher and teacher of the Gentiles. And he gave the message to them concerning the church age. That's why we believe in a local assembly. This meeting is a local assembly, a local church. It's called the body, a part of the body of Christ. It's called the temple of God. There's three aspects of the temple of God in the scriptures. Each one of our bodies is a temple, individually. And the local church is a temple. And the church in its entirety is the temple of God. And when the Christ comes for the church, then the 70th week will run its course of about 7 years. So between these two, the 69th week and the 70th week, we have the church age of its entirety reign, or its duration, about almost now 2,000 years. Now the question I want to ask tonight about the message, as far as the subject is concerned, can we be sure from Scripture, not from some theory, not from some scholar, not from some theologian, can we be sure from Scripture that the church won't go through the tribulation? Can you say it with me? Yes, we can say it. Amen? Scripturally, you say, Brother Smith, where is it? All right, just bear with me and we'll show you from the book. It's the book that counts. Not what Hubert Smith thinks, but what the book says. I can't help it that some of our scholars, like out in Dallas, Texas, Dwight Pentecost, a man that has proclaimed this truth of pre-tribulation, pre-millennial teaching, and now he's compromised to get some post-millennial students into the college out there. What's wrong with men that can't stand true to God to the very big end when Christ comes? I know we're subject to fall, we're subject to failure, we're subject to mistakes, but I've asked God to help me to be faithful to His Word irregardless of how many others don't. That don't make me anything special above anybody else. No, no. I'm not a specialist. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, a servant of the Lord that He's chose to use, and I count it an honor that God has called me into the labor, to labor with Him. I give Him all the glory for it. All right. How can we prove it? But I want to read a little more in the book of Daniel. Go with me to verse 26. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off. That's here. And then note now, and the people of the prince that shall come. The prince that shall come is the man of sin. The people of the prince is Rome. Read on. That shall come shall destroy the city. The people destroyed the city when? In 70 A.D. 70 A.D. after Christ's death. Destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. Unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Now look at verse 27. And he shall confirm. He shall confirm or make a covenant with many for 1 week. What week? That 70th week. That 1 week that's just got to run its course with Israel. The Antichrist makes a covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, he shall cause the sacrifices and oblation to cease. In the middle of the week is when Satan is cast to the middle of the tribulation. He's cast down from the heavens, the prince of the power of the air, the prince of king of the prince of this world. He has access to go up and accuse the brethren before God. But when he's cast down to the earth, and he's got only a short time before he'll be cast to the bottomless pit. And I want you to note something about Satan. We may give a message on it while we're here on Satan. He is not an ignoramus. He's not a dum-dum. He knows more than you and I know. He's got a certain amount of foreknowledge. It says when he's cast down here in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation, I believe it is. I thought it was here. When he's cast to the middle of the earth, down in the middle of the tribulation, he knows his time is short. That's foreknowledge. You remember the demons that was in the man in the tombs? And no one could tame him, bind him. He would break the chains and the fetters. And when Jesus came toward him, the demons cried out and said, "We know who you are, and you have come to torment us before the time." Those demons had a certain amount of foreknowledge. They knew eventually they were going to be tormented in the lake of fire forever. And they said to the Lord Jesus, "You come before our time to torment us. Let us go into these swine over here." And the Lord permitted it. And the Lord knew what would happen to the hogs. The fellas lost all their ham and bacon, didn't they? They sure did. Now read on. In the midst of the week, that one week, he'll break the covenant. You see, he makes this covenant with Israel to restore the temple sacrifices for one week. What week? That has to begin as soon as the church is gone. Right here. This is when he makes that covenant. Where are we then? As I said Tuesday night, the signs are pointing to the coming of the tribulation and the coming of Christ to the earth. It's pointing to the day of God, the day of the Lord, judgment falling. Not the day of Christ. The day of Christ is when we be caught up to meet in the air, and stand before the judgment seat of Christ up here. And that's for our works, not our sins. All of our sins were taken care of back here. All my sins are gone. Dear saints, take courage. God said it, not man. Not some theologian. I don't give you 2 cents for the theologian if they don't believe this book or preach it. God said, my sins have been blotted out. All of them. Dear saints, we need to live in the joy of that fact. Saved from our sins and saved to heaven. Saved from hell and saved to Christ and saved to heaven. What a truth that is tonight. So he breaks he causes the sacrifices to cease. And it's been said that he'll offer a swine. And that's when Israel will know this is not their Messiah. He's a false Christ. We often sometimes hear it called the Antichrist. He's called the beast. He's called the lawless one. He's called the man of sin. He's a man. Some thinks he's in the world today. It's very possible. I don't know. We won't know till after the rapture. You know, I'm not as concerned about him as I am about the Lord Jesus. I'm not concerned about the Antichrist. I'm concerned about the Christ that's coming for us. Now, right between, as I've already said, I do want to repeat it for emphasis' sake. Between the 69th week and the 70th week, we have the church. And I think Brother Frank prayed in his prayer a while ago, thank God that we're in the church age and we belong to his church. The greatest dispensation you could be in. We are a privileged people. By God, to belong to the true church, the body of Christ, his bride, sitting with him in the reigning, sitting with him in the judgment of the nations, sitting with him in the judgment of the great white throne of the unsaved. You see, all the saints will be with the Lord Jesus here. But none will be standing before him, will be with him, not before him. The unsaved will be before him to be judged. All right, let's go a little further now. I want you to go with me to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. I want you to see how this scripture is so worded that
You can't mistake the fact that the church is going to be taken out before the rapture. But keep in mind the 1 week that the Antichrist makes his covenant with Israel. And that will not happen. I like what Rob Linstead said in the conference in February in Augusta, Georgia. He said, just before the Antichrist gets ready to sign the peace treaty or covenant with Israel, just before that, God raptures the church and takes it out. Just before. And then the signing, the covenant is made. Now I want us to start reading with verse 1 of chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that's the rapture. When he comes here, he's talking, he said, our gathering together unto him, our gathering together, that's the church, that's the believer. That he said, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as that's from us. You see, what is known here is that somebody wrote a letter to the Thessalonian church and forged the Apostle Paul's name to it. For he says here, don't you be deceived or troubled by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us. Speaking about him. As the day of the Lord is at hand, not the day of Christ, but the day of the Lord's at hand. That's what that word statement should be. The day of the Lord is still the day of Christ. Let no man deceive you. And I would say this is an exhortation to every one of us. Let no man deceive you by any means. Any means. For that day, what day? The day of the Lord shall not come except there come a falling away first. Let me stop there. What does it mean about the falling away? It means the apostasy will come immediately after the rapture. The day of the Lord won't come until that comes first. Well, what does that mean? Don't we have apostasy today? Yes. Well, as soon as the church is raptured, all professing Christians will be left behind. And then we will know, and they will be known that they were not real. There will be no longer any pretension. The apostasy will come to its fullest. And that'll be those who have rejected salvation by blood, rejected salvation by grace, and they will be condemned to accept the man of sin and accept his mark in this period. You see, those people, as we go to read on further in a few moments here, those people has to be qualified in the scriptures. Read on now. He says, except those that come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, the lawless one. That's the Antichrist. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You see, he restores the sacrificial offerings of Israel for 1 week. This period of time. The first 3.5 years seems to be kind of peaceful times. But the last 3.5 years is called the Great Tribulation. It's called the time of Jacob's trouble. It's called the time of trouble in Daniel 9:12:1. It's also called the hour of temptation in Revelation 3:10. And God has told us in that verse that he will keep us from that hour. You see, when God deals with a few years, he calls it an hour. When he deals with a thousand, he calls it a day. Or 2,000. 2 days. You remember I told you Tuesday night that Hosea chapter 6, you got 2 days. Which we believe is the 2,000 years of the church age, just about. Like in about 7 years. And then the one day, the third day, is the millennial day. God's day. Seventh day. Perfection. Read on with me in the scriptures. Remember ye not, Paul is saying to these saints, that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what withholding. He said to those saints, you know what's restraining that he, the Antichrist, might be revealed in his time. Well, what is it that is restraining? The Holy Spirit in the church. Read the next verse. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, even in Paul's day. Only he who now letteth or will let, or he that hindereth will hinder, until he be taken out of the way. Who's he talking about? He can't be talking about the church. The church is never referred to in the masculine, always in the feminine. The church is looked at as her, she. So the he here is not necessarily the church, it's the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit is in the church. Resident in the church. On the day of Pentecost, he came into the church and formed 120 into one body, one living organism, not an organization, but an organism alive. The church is alive, made up of people, who are born again. And that church has been added to all these almost 2,000 years now. And so you see then, he's hindering, other words, the Holy Spirit is hindering until he be taken out. What will happen? When the rapture takes place, the Holy Spirit goes out with the church. Not, and let me emphasize, not as to his omnipresence, but as resident in the church. He takes the church out. But he'll still be here in the tribulation in his omnipresence as he was in the Old Testament. But that's what he means. He takes the church out. And then, now note, read on. And then shall that wicked or that lawless one be revealed. Who? The man of sin. Whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. What is the brightness of his coming to the world? Right over here. The world won't see Jesus here. Only the saints. Every eye will see him here. Every eye, every living people that's alive on the earth will see Christ coming in the brightness of his glory. If that light, the presence and Shekinah glory of the Lord was so great that it blinded Paul's eyes that he couldn't see how to walk. And when he got to Damascus, Ananias prayed for him and scales, literal scales, fell from Paul's eyes. I believe they were literal scales fell off his eyeballs. God healed him. Yes, he did. Oh, you living in an age, don't talk about the miraculous. They don't believe in the supernatural and the miraculous. They want to believe in everything materially and natural. But we believe in the miraculous, don't we? We believe that God is absolute sovereign and that the supernatural. And so that brightness of the glory of the Lord when he comes to the earth is going to destroy. What does it do? He takes the man of sin, the false prophet, And these are two figureheads. He casts them both to the lake of fire. Alive. In their bodies. He takes the devil and puts him in the bottom of fish first. Then he deals with the man of sin that the devil incarnated. And casts him to the lake of fire alive. Them two men alive. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Then he gathers the nations before him and judges the nations as how they have treated Israel. We'll take up that more fully in another message. Then he sets up his kingdom. He builds again the tabernacle of David. David's throne will be set up according to the seed flesh line of David. Christ will be the one to set on that throne. The rightful king and the rightful heir. Hallelujah, dear saints. You and I are coming with him, all the saints, with his saints, all of them. Zechariah 14, 4 to 11 tells us he comes with all of his saints. That's Old Testament saints, that's New Testament saints, that's tribulation saints. Comes with him to reign. We, the church, will be by his side. Israel, the Old Testament saints, will be the friends of the bridegroom. The earthly people of Israel will be the subjects of the kingdom and the saved Gentiles that goes into the millennium with us. We'll take up that more through later. Now read on quickly. It says in verse 9. It says, he comes, in other words, the Lord destroys with the brightness of his coming. Even him, the Antichrist, whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Did you know that's what's happening tonight? Don't be deceived by the New Age movement. That's of Satan. If you get anything that's got the New Age on it, you better burn it. It's even worse than Jehovah's Witnesses. It's so camouflaged it makes people think. You see what the real purpose of the New Age movement is? That you become your own God. That's contrary to Scripture. And it's got into the greatest intellectual of the country and the world and the money men so they can spread their propaganda and their false teaching. The devil is preparing the wonders and the signs that's happening in the world today. In other words, if you see somebody performing miracles and you don't believe it's of the Lord, don't say it's not real. Satan has power to perform miracles. Signs and wonders. Let me give you an instance. Happened in the Old Testament. What happened? When Moses, in other words, the magicians throwed down their rods and they became serpents. That wasn't of God. It was of Satan. Moses threw down his rod and it became a serpent. And swallowed theirs up. Don't be fooled by so-called miracles. So-called highly emotional group that just goes all wild in their meetings. God's word teaches decency and in order. And we go by the scriptures and not by emotionalism. I'm an emotional person, and I don't want to lose my emotions. But God gives me enough of common sense and also His Word to control them and use them for His glory. Read on. It says, with lines, once signs and wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. That's the people who receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved in this age. And when the church is taken out, then they'll know that they're not real. Brother John Bramhall says they'll be so glad we're gone. Because the fundamentalist that believes the Word of God and the inspiration of Scriptures agrees in the pre-tribulation, pre-millennium, he says we're flies in their soup. They'll be gone, and this crazy fanatic crowd will be glad they're gone. Now they can have their one world church and their one world united, and that's exactly what Satan's going to do with the man of sin. The only united I want to be united to is with the Lord Jesus, and that's what we are. Yes, the church is universal. The true church is made up of all nations. Doesn't mean all of them are saved. People are saved and in the true church. The professing church will be left. Well, I'm going to have to quit because my time is good. That time's not right. It stopped a while ago. Let's just look at another verse through here and stop. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all might be condemned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure and unrighteous. Thank you for bearing with us tonight. I know it's been kind of warm. Appreciate you staying by. Lord willing, we'll see you on the Lord's Day when we come to the Lord's Supper. The Sunday school and then the Lord's Supper Sunday night. Would you pray for my wife? She's not feeling too well. She's having some problems with some kind of bursitis. So I'll ask you to remember her. Father, we thank you tonight for thy sure coming. We believe it could be tonight. We may hear the shout. Oh, Father, what a joy it would be that you'd come to call us to yourself. We believe, Lord, that you're anxious to come, but waiting the time and the summons of the Father, and waiting for the right time according to thy will and purpose. And so, Father, we ask that we may be found faithful as servants of the Lord and in religious Christians, servants serving thee in faithfulness to the Scriptures, faithfulness to the true doctors we believe the Word of God teaches. And this is one of them we've been talking about tonight. Father, bless thy dear people, those that are sick on this island. We commend them all to thee. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you for coming.